Okay. So, we're going to start learning Tanya, Bezrat Hashem, outside, not with the Sefer, because I found in my experience of Tanya that the actual words of the Sefer are really a big ikuv to the awe of the Sefer for us, for our generation. So I want to try and separate the awe from the kalim to just give that over. So we're not going to, I just want to discuss right now, this is like an introduction. Next week, Bezrat Hashem, we'll start with Perek Aleph. So I wanted to ask everybody here, what is Chassidus? I'll be surprised if we don't get five different answers.
What is Chassidus?
What is Chassidus?
Way of life.
Way of life?
Direction.
Yeah, it's following a certain hashkafa from a certain Rebbe and a group of Rebbeim in a certain area, and they have a certain way of looking at the world.
But what is that? What's that certain way of looking at the world?
I think it's beyond like the written word. Like you go beyond.
Meaning the whole point of it is that you're trying to go deeper into whatever.
Right. It says give tzedakah, so you can give a dollar. Or you could say, I'm giving this dollar because I want to recover the idea that Hashem said we should be givers. And at that point, I think it goes into a different level.
So that's called Lifnim Mishur Sedin.
I think so.
You guys, anything to say?
Focusing on the Vekas. Everything is based on the Vekas, getting closer to God.
What is the Vekas?
Cleaving to God, getting close to God. By doing something that's bringing me closer, anything I'm involved in is for the purpose of elevating, maximizing my time in this world.
That's the focus.
Nice.
Yeah, the maximization is being one with God as much as possible, to live with God.
So the focus is become one with God.
Shvisi Hashem. To walk in knowing that God's there, being with Him, and that's the purpose of life.
So the focus means it's the focus of machshava, meaning you're just constantly aware of that idea. With some kind of feeling, or
the awareness brings you to the action. You live in a way based on the awareness that God's in front of you.
Okay, so it translates into action. There's a
which creates shleimus. That's the idea of this world.
And that's Chassidus.
And Chassidus is being aware of that constantly. Of everything you're doing is.
And so that's a chiddush.
Chiddush.
I'm saying that's a chiddush and Chassidus that would not exist by any other strand of Yiddish guy. I mean, we make a big deal of the Baal Shem Tov, yeah? What did he do? What did he bring to the... What's the big deal? You know what I'm saying?
Nima Satana.
What's that?
Yeah, so make learning of Nesta.
What's the difference? I'm sorry to be confrontational about this. It's just, we need to get these ideas straight.
New book.
Ah, that's the tough years.
The difference between Pnimius and Chassidus is
what's the difference between Pnimius and Chassidus? Not Torah, just anything.
Right. Well, you have what's inside, where it's coming from, and then what's being expressed.
That'd be it. Motivation and action. Kavana and Kli and awe.
Right.
So he was Megala the Pnimius.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's the awe.
What's that?
Sisrei Torah. It's the hidden, it's the secret, the secrets within Torah. So you could learn Torah and you're not getting to the secrets behind the words of what.
So what does that mean? What you're just, it's like you're going, you're revolving now. What you just, what is the awe behind the Torah?
You can know God. You can try to get close to what God's intention was.
God's intention.
But you try to get closer to that space.
You want to emulate. You want to emulate. Your understanding of who he is, what his midos are.
And that's the awe behind, that's the what you're saying. So you've got the outer level of the Torah and the inner level of the Torah.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the inner level is
Chassid.
But what, so we're saying it's the light of God?
Can't say that because God, you can't the light of God, because then you're separating the creating and the pure.
Well, you can say the light of God, like the light of the sun. It's not two things. The sun emanates. Fine. The sun emanates light. So you say the light of God, like God isn't light, but he kind of glows like the sun. You can say that.
Expression.
So you're saying that Hasidus is the inner, so that didn't exist before?
No, of course it existed.
So what did the Baal Shem Tov do?
He was Megale. He took something that was Nistar and made it Megale.
He revealed
something that was hidden, that was, until that time,
concealed.
Kept secret and concealed.
Joy.
In the Sisrei Torah.
And the Sisrei Torah is joy also. It's connected to Kosh Baruch Hu joy. Not through necessarily this year, and he brought a lot of ahava and joy into Yiddishkeit.
So what's that got to do with the panemius of the...
Because I think the atzmius of Yiddishkeit is joy. It's because if you love Kosh Baruch Hu, then you do things in a way that you want to serve. I think the Hasidus is an outlook of doing it because it's wonderful, not because I'm scared necessarily. Because of...
But what about just Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim?
Sure, that's true. But they could find a joy in that.
What would that have to do then with Lifnim Meshur Sadin? Because we know, we do know one thing, that Hasidus is called Lifnim Meshur Sadin.
Asked you to bring his slippers. We said, here's your slippers. You bring them and you bring him a coffee and you polish his slippers and you put them next to his, put them on his feet. You go beyond what he asks because you're so excited about being close.
So that's a good question, because why, if it's, see, that's the Pasha understanding of Lifnim Meshur Sadin. They translate it as going beyond the letter of the law, which means you do more for God than he asks. That's the Pasha. If you read the Mishnah Shasharim, it's possible to read it like that. Yeah? Like you just said, not just bring in the slippers with a coffee, with a wafer.
This is why. Why are you doing that?
So why is the Hebrew Lifnim Mishuras Adin going inside? It's not going beyond the letter of the law, it's the opposite. It sounds like the opposite,
because
though, the actual Hebrew.
There's something that you're chayav to do, and there's something you want to go into the atzmius of what it is.
And that would involve
that
doing
would
more.
More, do more, because that's...
Are you doing it to get schar, get something back from it, or just because you want to connect? You don't want
isn't that a schar? You want to connect? Isn't that some kind of schar?
If I do it, I'm sure, so then I'll get a more schar than I'm haba. If I do something like that.
So that's for sure not.
It's Yerida Shitra Chaliyah.
The what?
It's like the concept of Yerida Shitra Chaliyah. The deeper you go, the more you're Megala. So, in a way, Lifnin, the Shur Satin, actually fits very nicely. You have to go Lifnin, and the deeper you go inside, the more you can go outside.
What do you find when you go in?
His Ratzin, more self.
Yeah?
What are you going into? You're doing more of his Ratzin. What do you think is his Ratzin? You bring your father the more than he asks for his slippers. You're doing what you think he wants the most. He appreciates it, and that's what you want to do. You want to make him, your creator, happy.
Oh. So you know, I've got the bit. You want to ask, give your 2 cents on what you think Hasidus is?
That there is no such thing as a bad.
As?
Bad. There's no such thing as bad. To redefine how we think about bad, how we think about Gashmias, and how
Ra.
We think about bad. Ra.
The word Ra.
Yeah, but Hashem is not, but Hashem is really, there's no incidental thing in the world, that everything is completely Meduyik, exactly.
There's
Hashem
a Vada Ra, though.
There's Ra, but Ra is, there's no bad judgment. Meaning we have a disgust when we think about Ra. I feel like Hasidus is very much like, what's the disgust? There's no disgust. There are things that Hashem said not to do, the things that Hashem said to do, the things to way to interact with the world. But to think that the world is something that's like, ugh.
Who said that's Ra? Who said the world's Ra?
No, I think that's what I think that had come.
That we should be repulsed. Hashem hates Ra.
Hashem hates Ra. But
he hates Klipa V'Sitra Achra. And the tzaddik, just like Hashem, can't stand Klipa V'Sitra Achra. He hates it. But Tachlis Asina, says the Tanya.
Even though he created it.
And B'mius.
Even though he created it.
Yeah, even though he created it. Okay. It says he has Harata every day that he created it. B'mius says. But so that there's that's dangerous. First, it's dangerous to say. And secondly, it's... I think you need to rework the definition of Ra.
Ra just means disconnected. I mean, you don't see that it's really part of Hashem. I mean, that's why it's Ra, because you don't see that it's really from His Ratzon, even though His Ratzon is that you separate from it, not that you engage in, but that to think that He's up there thinking that there's really like as if Torah and mitzvahs are somehow like objectively good. They're not. Hashem could have decided to do anything other kinds of mitzvahs. He could have made tefillin, he could have made pink boxes or green circles or this and that. Like, I'm getting really hung up on the nitty gritty here. Even though everything is the tachlis adiuk, at the end of the day, Hashem just stop getting so hung up on how you think this is good and bad. Just this is the Rabbeinu Shalom's world. Enjoy the Rabbeinu Shalom's world. Don't get hung up on this is bad, this is good, this is bad. Like, you do what Hashem wants. But
he hates Klipa V'Sitra Acha, but Tachlis Asina.
I don't think
he's repulsed by it.
Into hating things.
What does it mean to hate something?
I don't think he came to Mechadish hatred of things that Hashem... You didn't need that. You didn't need the Chiddush of that. That was already... We Yotzei.
Maybe our definition of Ra was a little bit off.
Chabon defines Ra as... There is no intrinsic Ra, but it's only when you take something, everything has its time and its place, and if it's in the wrong time or in the wrong place, that's Ra.
So you could define Ra as a klipa. What's the purpose of a klipa?
Protect the fruit until the right time.
It has no intrinsic value itself. It's a means to an end. The pre is the end, and the klipa is a means to an end. So you disregard the klipa like a shell of an egg. When you're ready to eat the fruit, the klipa is thrown away. Yeah? That's how we can define Ra. That's it. It's a means to an end, and Hashem hates that. And I'll just go a little further. This isn't... I mean, everything's one thing, but mixing up, confusing ends and means to ends is called Gehenna. Mm. When you start thinking that means to ends are ends, and you think that ends are means to ends... Yeah, that's called being in Gehenna. Mm-hmm. That's called making Shabbos Chol, and making Chol Shabbos Chas V'Shalom. So...
But one second. That means that everything that we do, for example, guy goes to work, that's not an end.
Means to an end.
That's right. According to what you're saying.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
Well, maybe your definition of Ra is like from Austin Powers, that little guy.
Let's go back to what you said.
Maybe that's not what Ra... Maybe we need to get rid of that. Maybe we need to get rid of that idea of Ra being sadistic, malevolent, you know, demonic. Maybe that's not what Ra is.
That Hashem hates Ra.
Yeah, he hates Ra.
Okay, so if he hates Ra, then it's...
So what does he love? What does Hashem love? What's an end unto itself?
Connection, I guess.
Oh, that's going very, very deep. We can say mitzvahs. Toy mitzvahs.
Which means to connect.
He loves mitzvahs. Why is there grass and sun and cows and Jews? So mitzvahs can take place. So now, I mean, if we said that there's no end in it, grass is not an end unto itself. So that's called Ra, yeah? But when we feed a cow grass, and then we shech the cow, and now we make tefillin out of cow, we drafted that into Avodas Hashem. And now that becomes love. That becomes part and parcel of Kedusha. That's the definition of Kedusha and Klipa. Klipa is a means to an end, and Kedusha is an end unto itself.
Well, it's our interaction with it that's the mean to an end, or an end to itself. Grass is just... Grass doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's
But
if I relate to the grass as a means to an end, it's rough. I relate to the grass as an end to itself, then it's going to...
But then you're going to say your wife is rough.
What?
Your wife is rough.
I don't know.
But you're relating. Isn't wife. It the relating that's
one's
rough?
One's wife is rough. Why? Because your wife is a means to connect to Hashem.
Your wife is an end unto herself. It's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah being married.
Yeah,
that's a means to that. And Hashem wants you to...
Married, but why why does a person get married?
Because it's a mitzvah.
The mitzvah.
To connect to Hashem.
It's a mitzvah. Forget connecting to Hashem. Forget yourself for a minute.
Yeah.
This whole thing about connecting to Hashem, it's so about me. Let's try and turn our attention to Him for a second. Yeah? So He actually wants you to get married. That's an end unto itself. Mm. Let's explain the Flemish
Din properly. You're saying if you remove yourself from the picture, Hashem just wants this situation to happen. And that makes it the end. Meaning getting married is the end, because if you remove yourself...
Being married,
no, you want then there's that end. You want that end too. You don't want it as a means to another end. Hashem wants that end.
That's what you want.
So if you want something Hashem from your wife...
End, Hashem wants that.
Yes, so you want it for that.
No, not you. You don't exist.
But I do exist.
I didn't say you don't exist. I just said stop thinking about yourself.
I'll stop thinking about myself. But what I'm stopping to think about myself is what I'm going to get out of this. That's not what I'm going to get out of it. It's what am I doing it for? I'm doing it because Hashem wants.
So let's bring this. Let's bring it back now.
That's the simple.
Lefnim Meshur Sadin. I'll give you my best example of Lefnim Meshur Sadin. When I go to the mikveh on a Friday afternoon. Yeah, I put my telephone on silent. I go to the changing room like upstairs, and then you have to walk down. Yeah, you go into the bore, you have a shower, probably takes maybe 15 minutes, suck a cold. I turn my telephone on silent. That is a beautiful example of doing something lifnim mishur sadin. Why?
I wouldn't disturb anybody.
You have no purpose for it, but you're also not disrupting other people's thoughts you're in the mikvah.
You want to be present.
I'm not going to be with my phone. I mean, my phone's upstairs. I'm not going to hear it, but maybe the guy next to me... It's going to be annoying. It's going to annoy him.
100%.
So is there an issa to leave my phone on?
Is it
usa to leave my phone on when I go to the when I go down into the bore?
No, it's not usa.
It's not good midos.
It's not good news, but it's definitely not us, yeah? Now, if a man's married to a woman and his goal is to be a good husband, now there's a lot of things, there's a lot of boxes you have to tick, yeah? To be a good husband, you have to pay the mortgage, you have to take the kids to school, let's say, you have to put your dirty socks in the washing basket, and you have to do the washing up, or take out the trash. Okay? That's just four examples of an endless list of things that you would have to do to be a good husband. So being a good husband, you need to make sure that all of those boxes are checked. All of those boxes are checked. Yeah? Now, let me give you an example. Let's say that you're working for some big entrepreneur, billionaire. You're some billionaire's assistant. Yeah? And he says to you, listen, I want you to go and get me a pair of shoes. So I don't care where you go, I don't care how much they cost, I just want slip-on shoes. This is my size, get me slip-on shoes. Okay, fair enough. Then the next thing he says to you is you're arranging for him a journey. He's going on a business trip, and he asks you to be masada the journey, that it should be absolutely... a round trip where you're not going to be going anywhere out of your way. You're going to be completely going all the way, one stop after the next, and it's going to be a continuous thing without having to go out of your way in any way. And the third thing he asks you to do is buy him a car. He says, listen, I don't really care what car it is. I just want two things, yeah? That it has really good mileage, good gas mileage, and it has a big fuel tank. So, lefi, not lefnim, but lefi leshur sadin, what did you learn about this man? He likes slip-on shoes.
Efficiency.
So that's not the din.
No, he likes
the... That's lefnim leshur sadin. From this, for the maisa, yeah, you learn that he likes slip-on shoes, that he has some kind of thing about doing a round trip, yeah, or some whatever it is, and that he wants a car as he described to you. But if you think a little bit and you use those points as an entry into him, mm-hmm. trying to understand him, now you've just realized this man values time. Now, his valuing of time in the shoe shop expresses itself like this, slip-on shoes. His evaluation of time on a trip, on a business trip, expresses itself like this, in a no time-wasting route. His value of time when it comes to buying a car ends up looking like this. And if you could come up with some other ideas about maybe, well, I didn't think about this, but what about getting like bigger tires? I'm just making something up because it helps the gas last longer. So you've got this car and this car. You would be able to extrapolate now that he would want the bigger tires because that's going to save him time from having to fill up the gas tank. With me?
Yeah, but then they get that gets dangerous if you start doing things like that.
Why? You
not really because, we, because Nolan Navio went exactly into that.
That was exactly the point. They didn't, because Nifnimish was a din means that you never ever deviate from the din. The din, but the din is helping you get to him. Get to see the mitzvah is so you can get to the mitzvah. You understand? It's a complete paradigm shift. The mitzvahs are not about you. The mitzvahs are his mitzvahs. So now, when I start understanding, so I see, so why is it that I turn my phone off when I go to a member? Why is that the Nifnimish was a din? Because I know that Rabbeinu Shlomo really values not disturbing people. There's pages and pages in the Gemara of not disturbing people. Is it a halacha? Is it a mitzvah? No, but it's a value of his. I don't kill things because I know he values life. So I see a cockroach. The truth is, me in my office, I share my office with this big cockroach. I've shared it with him. It might be a different one.
It's your partner or it's a cockroach?
It's right. it's Mamash and Kovach. I share my office with him for at least a year or two, yeah? Why? Because I know that Hashem values life, and if I don't need to kill it, when I was in my parents' house.
No, your wife won't come in.
But this is the point. This is the issue I said. Now, in my parents' house, about 6 months ago, I was in the house, I was in their conservatory, and this thing, I don't know what it was, it was like a wasp times like 10. It was like a huge thing, yeah? It was scary, really scary. It comes into the conservatory. I open all the windows, I'm talking to it, I'm like, please, just go. If you don't go, I'm going to kill you. Please don't make me kill you, just go. Yeah, and I've got this tray, and it comes near me, I'm like that, and it just wouldn't get the message. So I know that Hashem has a higher value that he doesn't want a human being to get a nezek. So I'll kill. So I killed the wasp, but I felt bad and I wasn't immediately stamped on it, put it out of its misery. That's being connected to the mitzvah as opposed to the mitzvah. With me? So now plug it back into marriage, yeah? And now, see, when you're not living in this world, you've got 613 things to check off. That's a nightmare. And it's not 613, let's be real. It's infinitely more than that, yeah? You've got... go on forever and ever. You've got tzedakah, you've got Talmud Torah, you've got kavanah and tefillah, you've got titzis and tefillin, and you've got tikkun amidas, and you've got tikkun abris, you've got shmir sanayim, and you've got shmir zeloshim, and you'll go on and on and on and on and on, and it's like... so overwhelming. I've got so many things that I have to be dealing with, so many battles I'm like waging war, so many fronts. I'm like the difference between fighting Gaza and fighting Gaza and Lebanon, it's a different, you've got so many battles and so many fronts. But that's because you're wanting to be a good Jew. And if you want to be a good Jew, you have to make sure you're ticking all these boxes. But if you move your mindset to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's called Sadak Be'emunaso Yichya. That's what Habakkuk was omed the entire Torah, Al Achas. So now you've got to pay the mortgage, you've got to put your socks, the dirty socks in the washing, you've got to clean the floor, and you've got to take out the garbage, yeah? Plus, 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 plus. But if you become actually connected to your wife, there's only one thing. Your wife. Mm-hmm. In this situation, your wife is expressed by you taking out the garbage. In this situation, your wife is expressed by you paying the mortgage. In this situation, your wife is expressed by you throwing your dirty socks in the washing bin. that sadhima munasa yichya, that all of the prat, that's called getting to the etzem through the shame. And what we were speaking about before, that would be your son going through the compressed idea back into the idea as it is in your mind, or into the one who gave over the idea. It's all the same. Everything we'll say can lead in every direction. It's all the same. So, we have a Gemara Shabbos. So, let's follow it back here. A lot of people think that the Baal Shem Tov came to be mefarish at Arizal. Yeah? What did the Arizal explain to us? Ukis Veri is a explanation of the Zohar. Where did the Zohar come from? Rishon Bayochai. I said this to you last time?
No.
Interesting. So, who is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? If we can answer this, we'll start to answer what Chassidus is, and then maybe we'll understand what Avram is, why the first word of Tanya begins with the word Tanya. There you go. And just see Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, they were sitting there. This is the famous story, probably the most famous story in the Gemara, at least up there with the top five. Yosef Yehuda ben Gerim, and there was a guy with them called Yehuda ben Gerim, Gabayhu. Pasach Rabbi Yehuda began, V'omah, Kama noe ma'aseihem shel umazu. Look how wonderful, how nice the actions of this nation being Edom are. Yeah? Tiknu shvakim, tiknu gesharim, tiknu machatzos. They made marketplaces, bridges, and washing places. So Rabbi Yehuda said that was a great thing. Rabbi Yosi shosok, Rabbi Yosi didn't say anything. Nana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, v'oma, koma shetiknu loy tiknu ela letzorech atzman. Everything they did for themselves. Tiknu shvakos. Loishi behem zoinus, they made machazos, la'edan behem atzman, they made bathhouses to give themselves pleasure. Gesharim nito behem meches, and
he didn't want to see the Nekudah Tovah in there.
What?
He didn't want to see the Nekudah Tovah.
Yeah, Rabbi Shimon, imagine that. What was he doing there? He didn't want to see the Nekudah Tovah. Halak Yehuda ben Gerim, so this guy, Yehuda ben Gerim, he went, yeah, Vesipa Divrehem and Nishmu Lamalchus, he told these things over to the Malchus, to Edom, Amru, they said, Yehuda She'ila Yisale. Yehuda was, who gave a Shevach, he gets praise, some kind of whatever. Yosi Shasog Yigala de Sipuri, Yosi, who said nothing, he gets Galus. Shimon Shigina, Shimon, who was Megane As, Yahweh. Azahu Bray, Tashu Bay Midrasha, him and his son went, they hid in the base Midrash. You know the story, yeah? And then he was worried that his wife was going to give in, and his wife was bringing them bread and stuff, and then he went to the cave. And that's the story. That's the famous story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And that was what caused the Zohar to come into being. So now we see from here, what's the pnimius of the Zohar? Two words. This whole story is predicated on two words. Rabbi Shimon's Hakpada on two words.
Is Hakpada on it?
His Hakpada, the Tzorich Atzman, on those two words, they were doing it for themselves, caused him to get the Gezeira of Misa, went to the Beis Medrash, went to the cave. The whole thing, the entire thing, was Mishtashal from those two words, the Tzorich Atzman. You understand? The Zohar, the panemius of the Zohar is predicated on these two words, the Tzorich Atzman, a hatred, an intolerance of they did it for themselves. So, really, if we say that the Baal Shem Tov came to explain the Arizal came to explain Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon's whole inyan was a hakpadah, was an intolerance, to the point where he would be makabel, he didn't need to say that. Why couldn't he just be quiet like Rabbi Yossi? Or he could have given them, there's a day in the Rabbi Yehuda, you know, he had who to be somech on. Rabbi Yehuda said, man, no, am I zemezoi? He could have been somech, he could have just done nothing. He went out of his way and caused himself this whole balagan because of just an absolute intolerance for selfishness. An utter intolerance for selfishness. So that's the panemius of the Zoya. The Zoya is the panemius of the Arizal, and apparently the Arizal is the panemius of the Baal Shem Tov. I'm not sure if that's true, but that's the panemius of the whole Hishtalshlis is the Inyan of the Tzoyach Atzma. Where did the whole Torah come from? Who gave us the entire Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Arnav Mo'oid. He was an Arnav. Yeah? Why did it have to be that his the media that we talk about of Moshe, that's utter selflessness, and the whole story with the sheep that he went, you know, brought back. We don't talk about his hours and hours of hasmoda, and you know the 6 hour his boided sessions that he did, and the tefillahs, and we talk about the fact that he ran after a little sheep and put it back on his shoulder. It's amazing. It's important to think about stuff like that. So it's interesting because in the Gemara. Gives the definition of a chosid. It says Rifrim Yishur Sedin is one definition. Another thing the Gemara says famously is
Hasan Rabbis.
Ezi chosid. Yeah, that's one thing as well that Tani brings out. I need to re-park my car. I'm sorry. So like that. Yeah, it works. It works on a phone like this. That's a big chesed for Hashem. And I bought a Waze machine, and I bought that thing as well. And that means I can...
You're connected.
I was saying to my friend yesterday, I think, you know, Mitzrayim, they talk about Avodah Kasha and all the things going on in Mitzrayim. I think it's very... Most people didn't want to leave. You realize that, yeah? 1 minute, sorry.
Apartment 4G doesn't have parking.
Yerushalayim.
Yes. Reserved for rabbis.
Valet parking.
Okay, I'm sorry, Okay, I'm with you again. Slicha. So the Gemara says, a Rasha Zorkan, a Tzaddik Kavran, and a Chassid Sofan. Yeah, it's talking about nails. About nails. Rasha throws them on the floor, a Tzaddik buries them, and a Chassid burns them. Yeah, it's a famous thing. So in the Gemara there, Tosha says, I don't know exactly what this means, but he says the inyan of burning the nails is mazik, the one who burns them. Now, I don't know, my Rebbe mentioned that it's like an inyan of like cremation, you cremated a part of yourself, or maybe it's the fumes, I don't know. Either way, burning the nails causes you damage. So the Rasha, what's the inyan of the nails, getting rid of the nails anyway, is because women, when they're pregnant, it's not going to be good for them, yeah? So the Rasha doesn't care. So he throws them on the floor. Who's Zalkan? He throws them. He doesn't care if a woman treads on them. Lech Palut. Yeah? The Tzaddik, yeah, he cares. But not enough to cause himself a Nezik. So he buries them. The Chosid is another definition. Chosid, same definition. The Chosid is so worried for this woman that he doesn't know, he's prepared to be Mazik himself. This other person is more the person he's never even met.
Am I allowed to mazik yourself?
That's the level of a chassid.
Because
Ruch
wants to be
mazik yourself. So let's try and understand the idea. Whether you want to plug it into halacha, you can learn that. But the idea of another person being more real to you than you are to yourself, that's the chassid. Legabei Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not about my kesher to you, because who's more important?
It's also like the Baal Tanya missing Kol Nidre.
Yeah, the end of stories of this.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But this, it's about you, Rabbeinu Shloim. Kesher, no kesher, it hurts, it feels good, love it, hate it. That's not what it's about. Isn't that the keys to like the perfect marriage? Not that you're doing it for that reason, but once you can get out of your own pleasure, if you can ascend your own pleasure, meaning that doesn't mean you don't have pleasure. If someone pops an M&M or something into your mouth, it doesn't mean you're not going to enjoy it. It just means you would not put yourself out for that. So a Russia, I always give a great example. In my mind, my paradigm Russia is Yemach Shemoy V'Zichro, is this guy called Ted Bundy from the 80s. You heard of this guy?
No, the tapes that they found of Ted Bundy tapes. It's coming up
with a serial killer.
A serial killer, yeah. You've heard of this guy?
From the 80s. Apparently,
he killed. They found out, they convicted him for like 80 or 100 murders, but he killed much more.
He killed
hundreds of people with torture and rape and all. It was, he in my mind is the worst. He's my dogma of Ra, yeah? When I need to think about Ra, when I try and get things clear about what it means Ra, I think about him. What's the Inyan? Why is that so Ra? Why is he Ra? Everyone agrees that that's like the epitome of Ra.
Selfish.
Yes. He's killing for no reason. He killed for his own selfish reasons. But it's not.
He's killing for his pleasure.
For his pleasure. Right?
Meaning, this is the definition of Ra, mamash. Is that my pleasure, which you could call really yourself, my pleasure is so real to me. And you're so unreal to me that I will put you through tsar for my pleasure. That's the very definition. That's the ultimate level of ra. That's ani va'afsi oid. That's power. That's I'm real. And not only am I real, but my pleasure is so... That's what it means that I'm real. My pleasure.
That's why air was called...
Wait, one minute. Let me...
Air and oinah.
The what?
What? Air and oinah. Air.
Say that.
Ra. Their
own pleasure. So what's the definition of a tzaddik? What's the definition of the ultimate level of toiv? So listen, this is a good example of a tzaddik, yeah? Let's say this is a nice comfortable chair, and the tzaddik's sitting in this chair, and that chair is not gonna have any benefit to Hashem's to his avodas Hashem. It wouldn't cross his mind to put himself out to sit in that chair. So the Russia would put you out for his personal pleasure. The tzaddik wouldn't put himself out for his own personal pleasure. Not that he wouldn't appreciate sitting in that chair. He could enjoy. He could appreciate that that's pleasurable. But that's not part of his cheshbon bichlal. With me?
Unless he understood that he felt that Hashem gave him that chair in order to have that pleasure. And that was something that...
Hashem get what that's
okay, yeah.
That's not right. That's an Eisha Torah, I think.
Wow.
That's not what it's about. That's Eisha Torah, and that's not right. I'm sorry, I'll be very stark with that. Why it's not about having pleasure.
What do you mean? But Hashem created a
it's about serving the Rabbeinu Shloim.
That
might happen to be the ultimate pleasure. That might happen to be the ultimate pleasure, but it's not about you taking physical pleasure for the sake of the physical pleasure. Chas v'shalom.
But you like your kid to have something.
We talking about Shabbos? Is it Shabbos?
Let's say.
Wait, is it? Are we talking about Shabbos? Then taking the are you going to go out your head if you don't do it? Is it going to impact your service? Is it going to negatively impact your avodas Hashem if you don't give in to that pleasure? Because sometimes you're going out your head. You just need to eat some chocolate or something
dessert?
Like that.
Do you ever eat dessert?
But every dessert.
It's only if it will negatively impact, but not if it will positively impact.
No, not there, because sometimes you tuck and need to. Because if you don't eat dessert, you're going to be grumpy and your wife's going to mamash get it.
If you're
that's not your wife's problem.
Tzaddik wouldn't get grumpy because he can't plant.
Okay, so we're not tzaddikim. That's the point. I was just explaining the highest level. The tzaddik wouldn't eat dessert in the week. No. Of course not. Unless it was something you've never tried before, maybe. Something like that. But the taking pleasure for yourself, that's not... That you...
Hashem wants you to have pleasure. I don't understand that. You want your kids to enjoy things, yeah?
What? But you're right, in a sense. Not in the way that we learn it traditionally.
As long the as your pleasure kid is, knows you say, that Miss the pleasure is coming from you. As long as the kid, the one gives you the pleasure, not just that your kid has a geshmak, but that he understands that it's coming exactly from you, the tati got him the ice cream. The tati got him the ice cream. And that he enjoys it. Oh,
so just keep giving him ice cream, more and more and more ice cream. Stuff it in him.
But
why
if
not?
The kid eats the, because then the kid's going to get sick. And there's a limit how much.
So it's not good for him.
Coming from, of course, but if the kid says, okay, you know what? I don't really care about the ice cream, but my tati loves that I appreciate that it's coming from him, and that he's.
So that save that. Save that. Save that for Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Save that for Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. I think his point is that it's the connection that the father has with the son. It's not about.
But the problem is when you indulge your own pleasure for yourself, there's no connection to anything other than yourself.
When you buy for your kid, it's not about you. It's about are you creating a connection with your child.
I mean, I think personally, I mean, I've Baruch Hashem, my kids are devoted, and I see what it means to spoil children. I know a lot of people who spoil their children, and that doesn't work out so well.
That's an extreme example of somebody that's giving doesn't know how to also hold back. I mean, but I think just in the most basic sense is that you want me.
Let me go a different way. Imagine how amazing your life would be. Let's go in a different direction. If you didn't care about your own personal pleasure.
For sure.
Let's say you have a particular candy that you love. You love this candy. Okay? And you haven't had it for years and you always Now you're at a simcha. And there's a candy bowl, and it's like Takadosh. It's the exact flavor. It's the exact company. It's the exact thing. Okay. You'd say, oh, Hashem put this on the table so that I would reject it and say, I don't have any needs. Or it's like, wow, Rabbi Shalom, you gave me the candy I love. I'm going to take a bite. I'm going to have one candy. I'm going to say, oh, Geshmak, Hashem, you gave this right to me. Thank you. Now, what
did that do to you?
Realize it makes me feel like Hashem loves me so much.
Or it got you more connected to your own personal pleasure.
It just made
in the long run. I'm just asking.
Hashem knows my personal pleasure, and that I didn't make up my personal pleasure. I didn't make up that I like that candy. I didn't figure that out. I didn't create that. Hashem gave me that love of that candy, and then he put that candy right in front of me.
Maybe.
I
mean, it depends. That okay?
Didn't put the candy in front of me.
No, you said he gave me that pleasure for the candy.
Well,
he gave the pleasure.
I like that candy.
It's
becoming not clothed the other candy.
The reason why you like that candy is because of stuff that happened during the past, because of things your parents did for you, things of where you came from, like the same.
And what? That's all. That's mikra. That's also Hashem.
No, Avalai.
Okay, so Hashem. But the point is I didn't come up with that taiva.
So now, what about? So now, let's plug this into. Let's plug this in. Let's take it really extreme. Sorry.
What's the question?
See,
why we created is the question.
Let's plug it into the relationship with your wife. Yeah. See, the person really is the pleasure.
So what are we trying to discover? Though, I'm saying now.
That. What does it mean to be Miss Anne Galashem? That's a really important word to get clear, because the whole of Mrs. Shasharim and lots of other swam are predicated on that, and I've never actually met somebody who gave me a decent definition for that word.
Well, he says Miss Anne, not Miss Anne.
So Miss Anne Galashem.
Well, to be Nenem is Yivashina.
What does that word mean?
Yeah, to be Miss Anne from Lashon Oineg, to be reflexive, Miss Anne.
To give him
Nachas Rach. So you're high on the Rabbeinu
Shalom. Why is that called Misaneg L'Shem?
Because you have this pleasure.
You're Misaneg.
You're having his pleasure.
You're him.
Your pleasure got replaced by his pleasure.
It's the same.
His pleasure.
That my pleasure is that he has
what
pleasure.
Makes it.
That's the same thing as eating that candy, not on Shabbos.
With the right mindset.
Do you want to say
there's no mitzvah for the candy necessarily? There's no mitzvah to eat the candy, so
it's going to have some kind of toilet in your Avodas Hashem. It could be. Well, like it says by Rava, it says that he used to eat fatty meat.
It's a little kiss. It's a little wink. Does he keep me alive every minute?
He used to eat. Rava used to eat. You learned the Tanya, yeah? Rava used to eat. It says from the Gemara, he used to eat like fatty wine and drink fatty meat and drink spiced wine to open his mind up to learn the Gemara. So if that candy there is going to help you in your Avodas Hashem, then that's much that you just drafted in Klipas
Noga. Isn't that for a result?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, isn't that right?
Your oineg is not an end unto itself. That's called Gehenim. And you're a hop, skip, and a jump away with Manal Islam from Ted Bundy.
Whoa. I'm not joking. Don't eat that candy.
When your oineg becomes an end unto itself.
First it's candy and then it's cereal.
If you listen to him talk, he said that it began with Zerah Levatola and magazines, and one day he was drunk and he knocked over an animal in the road and he was interested by it, yeah? And then one day he got drunk and one thing leads to the next, and before you know it, you're Ted Bundy, Rahman al-Islam. Yeah? I'm not joking. I know I'm speaking very strongly, yeah? If you think that your oineg is an end unto itself, you're in Gehenna. That is Gehenna. I'll give you a good story that happened this week that explains you what Misagen Hashem is. So I take Shachris very seriously, Baruch Hashem. I have done for many years now. And I had Tuesday or Monday. And I was up early. I had my learning Seder. And I was up too early to go to the mikveh. So I left the mikveh to go later. So I take these guys to shul I go to, yeah? And I'd planned the whole thing, and I just went to the bathroom, I was going down, getting into my car, literally in the chaniyah, my car, my phone rings, it's my 16-year-old daughter. Abba, I really don't feel well. I really don't feel well. And she's having pains from that time of the month, yeah? And it was like this. This is how it went. I'm on the phone with her. I'm like, I'm getting into my car. I'm excited. Shach was here. And I'm like, Dean, you okay? She's like, no. How long was that? I just walked straight back to my house. And later I thought about this. Now, there were three options that could have happened at that point, yeah? Trying to pay attention, because this really is extremely deep and extremely important, yeah? Three options. Number one, I'm like, oh, Dini, you're not well? Oh, that's terrible. I wish you were full of you should be okay. Get in the car and go to shul. Yeah? Let's say that Dina is the Rabbi of Shalom in the Moshul. Yeah? Okay. And shul is something that I want to do. I said this the other day and it got confused because that sounds like the mitzvah. The Moshul is that shul is something that I want to do and Dina is the Rabbi of Shalom. Okay? Ratzon Hashem. And I know she wanted me to be there with me. So the three options are like this. There's, I get in the car, I say the first name, I drive off, and I'm involved in my own thing. Yeah? Or what happened is I just immediately turn back and go back to the house and I sit with her for a few minutes. Yeah? What's the middle option? It's interesting, like, what's the other option?
You stay on the phone with her.
What?
You stay on the phone with her.
I might as well just go up. That's the same thing. I'm giving her my time. If I'm going to be late for... Right now, I've got two conflicting whatsoevers.
You get angry at her.
My daughter wants me to be with her, and I want to go to shul. And they don't work. I could be on the phone. I could maybe speak on the phone. That's not me.
You go back. We're like, okay, fine.
That's it. I could say to her, now, really, I want to get in the car. And then what happens, what pops into my mind is, you know, if your friend told you this, you'd much think he's like a bad father. Get back, yeah? Or, you know, this is a thought pops up and convinces me to go back. whatever that thought may be, you can fill in the blank yourself, you know what I mean? That's a completely different mahus from the other two people. Well, it's actually not. It's actually very similar to the guy who gets in the car and drives off. You're about to get in the car.
But they're both selfish.
You're about to get in the car. Yeah, but you're doing the right thing. You're doing the good. You're doing the good thing.
The mice is
that's very important, especially to my daughter.
So it's even better to go. You go back with the, we call it Tuch's face.
It's better to go.
It's better to go to show. If you're gonna go back.
Wait, no, 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 no.
No, with the bad face. No.
I'm not saying you go back. But okay, I get you. No, you understand me wrong. You're not going back begrudgingly.
Right, you're going back lovingly.
You're going back lovingly.
You're convinced by something else.
Something external came to you.
The relationship is the ikker.
It could be so your thought. She'll be upset with me if I don't go back, and I'm going to deal with that later on.
It would be going to damage your relationship. So which relationship is more important?
Yeah, very. That's an external thought comes to me. You with me?
Right.
As opposed to what happened to me, and this was very special for me to realize this, is that I didn't go through that process. I just about turned.
You trained yourself at that moment. You're trained. You're in that space. So my daughter is more important than my particular need. I have to go back.
She's more real to me than I am.
Right.
What about those guys?
Her pleasure.
Or her pain is more important.
Pleasure and pain is the same thing. Right. Her pleasure or her need to be...
Help, right.
Replaced my own personal pleasure.
Right.
That's Miss Anigal Hashem. Not eating the candy. Miss Anigal Hashem means that your own personal pleasure has been replaced by his pleasure. Now that could be at two levels. Yeah, and that's the difference between Tzadik Gamor and Tzadik She'eino Gamor in the Tanya. That could be the level where you actually enjoy the candy, but it has no relevance to my relationship with God, so I don't care. Yeah? Or the ultimate level, which is not shy to most human beings, which is a gift from Hashem that most of us will never achieve and not that we're meant to achieve, is where the candy will actually not be of pleasure, bichlal.
Your awareness made you going back more pleasurable than going to shul.
So you could say like that if you're a human being, but looking at it from the eyes of Torah, the way you would say it is that her pleasure overwhelmed my pleasure, and her pleasure is so real to me.
Yeah, ultimately that was more pleasurable for you to do, though.
Yeah,
it was more. But that's the point. Whose pleasure? Meaning that my own personal pleasure was to go to davening. She needed me. Yeah, so you could say that's my pleasure. But the way that we're explaining that, the holy way of explaining that is that your pleasure got replaced by her. That's the idea of the guy who's now not caught up in the garbage and the kasub and the mortgage and the dirty socks. All of that dissolves and there's just a wife. There's just my wife. She's more real to me than I am to myself.
Miss Anig in that. In
well, that's Miss Anig, but it's not your Oineg. Your Oineg has been replaced by her Oineg. So there's Oineg there, but it's her Oineg. If you were to look at that situation, what motivates me to drink this? Yeah, I'm enjoying this. My pleasure caused me to bring the cup to my mouth and drink it. Yeah? Yeah? Everyone agrees with that? So now when you're watching me get this phone call, and me do an about turn and go back home, where am I?
You're submerged. You're secondary.
There's just Dina.
Right, there's no you.
There's no me, there's just Dina.
Yeah, some people...
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, this isn't talking about being a doorstep and a schmata and a doormat.
They don't exist. That's not true.
That's not true. They exist very, very much. Their existence is being solidified through becoming a shmata. Yeah, being going beyond your pleasure is the most, not only is it the most empowering thing in the world when you're doing something. I mean, just push up shut. How much you put yourself out for a meal on a regular Wednesday evening? You're by yourself, your wife's not there. What do you do?
Low level.
Yeah, but your parents are coming in from out of town, or your brother or sister's coming in from out of town. Yeah, you want to do, you go all out. It's just pasha. Somebody else's pleasure is more motivating than my own pleasure if you're a half worked out person. So not only is it insanely empowering.
Yes, you don't need to impress them.
Okay, yeah. But not that's only selfish. Is it insanely empowering, but it's also insanely individualizing. Because now your question is, well, what makes me different from, what's so unique about me that Hashem wants specifically. So it actually causes you to have to understand what makes you unique, because that's what the Rabbeinu Shlomo wants from you. So not only does it empower you past anything you could ever imagine, and I promise you that it does, yeah, not only that, is you become the most individual you could become. But it's all just an external thing, because really what's happening is the Dvar Hashem, the Ruach Elokim is just breathing through you. That's Mizarig El Hashem. So we've got some, if anybody needs to get up and leave, please do. Yeah? No offense were taken, but this is, you don't want to leave for this. This is possibly the most important thing I've ever heard, and it's Mamash in the Parsha, which will be the next Parsha. And this is the reason, This is where Tanya is trying to take us, to this Madrega. So, the question by Akedis Yitzhak, yeah, which is really where Am Yisrael began, yeah? What's the Inyan of Akedis Yitzhak? Well, everyone here knows that. What would you say is the Inyan of Akedis Yitzhak? Giving his son up, who is dearest thing to him. Yeah?
He bought his own das, despite the fact he was promised there's going to be a lineage.
Suspend
that moment.
Against the Melech was the number one thing. He was fighting against it. It doesn't make a difference. Dvar Hashem.
So this is where the way Rabbi Yoel Kahn paints this picture. I looked up the Midrash, I couldn't find the Midrash, but he understood it. He explained that, we know that at the time, the big avail of the time was Moilech, and was people being mucked with their children to Hashem, to their God, to Moilech, yeah? Child sacrifice, it was rampant, yeah? Everyone was killing their kids. So I always thought it was like, you know, a bunch of psychopaths with machetes and axes and underpants on their head and fire and blood and ha-ha. You know what?
Bunch of Ted Bundy's.
Yeah, like the little mini-me, you know? Yeah, that's how I always understood it. Yeah? And I learned this thing from my Rebbe and from Yul that's like, makes it a little different. Listen to this. He said that all the people in the world got together. Yeah, there weren't that many people in the world. They all got together and they decided they wanted to be makriv to their God. They wanted to do the hardest thing they could do for their God. The hardest thing they could do. So some guy stands up and he says, we'll kill ourselves. Mass suicide for our God, for Moilech. And that's going to be the ultimate, that'll be the, October 7th. We'll get there. This is the whole Inyan. And this is why we're not here to be religious. This is the opposite of religion. Mamish, in fact, according to everything I know, the only thing that I know of that isn't religion is Yiddishkeit. The only thing I know of. And we've turned it into a religion, which is the ultimate tragedy. The ultimate tragedy. So you've got all these guys saying, okay, we're going to kill ourselves, yeah? We're going to do the hardest thing we can possibly do. One guy pipes up. He says, I've got something harder. They're like, what? What's harder? Makriv, our firstborn Spitz children. Everyone's like, no way. That's. And they spoke it out and they went through and they eventually agreed that is the hardest thing they could do, and they agreed to do it. So now, in the churches, there was solemn music. Everyone was crying their eyes out. The mothers were crying. The fathers were consoling the mothers. The glachim were consoling the fathers. Everyone was talking to the children, saying, I know this is the hardest. Imagine the situation, yeah? Like, mamish, everyone crying their eyes out, yeah? No one wanted to do it. Everyone was forcing us to do it, yeah? And you got this guy outside with a picket stick.
Wow.
Yeah? Cool. A guy with a picket stick outside saying, no. They were like, go back to Tel Aviv. You friar, look at you. You chiloini. Look what we're doing. You're out here with your stick and your... Lech mipo. Lech lecha. Go away. The whole thing. Amazing, no? What? So Avram was the friar.
He says, no, you kill him.
Avram was the friar. He had been running this organization for like 30, 40 years, yeah? call it, we don't kill our kids for God.
Now he's going to go and do the same.
Now the less pain, the galach comes up to him and says, Avram, you kill Yitzhak or we'll kill you. Any fraction of a human being, his whole thing has been, for the past 30, 40 years, we don't kill our children. This galach puts a gun to his head, says, kill Yitzhak. Pitol. You're going to torture me? Gesundheit. If William Wallace can do it, I can do it. Yeah? He was the guy in Braveheart.
Sorry.
Hashem turns around to him and says, kill your son. He's like, okay, where would you like me to do that? What's the Indian? Is that, this is the word, yeah? Shita. Shita. Shintes, which is Lashon Sotan, by the way. And Shtus, Ruach Shtus. Same word, same Shurash. He was able to go beyond his Shita. What made it possible for a few thousand Rishoyim to come into Eretz Yisrael a year ago? All of them ready to give up their lives. That is mind-blowing, yeah? But we know that that's not a mila. You're tembo. Not only you're a rasha and you're a tembo. You're going to give up your mind. You're going to give up your life. You with me? It's a crazy kite.
You're talking about the original founders of this Medina? Is that what you're
talking about? No. It's about October 7th. The terrorists are showing up. October 7th. October 7th. Sorry, yeah, I'm being vague. I don't want to
hear it. I've got Yair Bennett in my head.
So the idea of a shita, yeah, the idea of a shita, and we see people give up their lives for their shita. That's not. There's nothing. That's quite amazing if it's a good shita, yeah. But that's distinctly human. Giving up your life for your ideology, we've seen that happen countless times. And the fact that what happened on October 7th, there was a whole bunch of them, and they do that all the time. You see, they care more about dying than they care about living. What's amazing about that, yeah? So, the Shevach of Avraham was that he was he gave up his Shita for the Rabbeinu Shloilam. He gave up his ideology. See, you'll give up your life for your ideology. But what will you give up your ideology for?
Well,
what is there to give
Megala,
up?
Wasn't he just Megala that his ideology was that Hashem knows best? I think that you wanted to test him that you're doing everything just because it makes sense to you. Would you even do this even if it doesn't make sense to you? To show you that, yeah, I was never doing it because it made sense to me. I was doing it because
that's,
I know you're the
rebellion. That's an ideology.
What?
You can't give up your ideology. That's not called giving up your ideology. So if you were saying this, that he gave it up for a higher Shita, then that's not the case. Because the point is he went beyond Shita. I'm giving you over Masoreh, yeah?
What was
his
Shita?
He went
what
beyond
was it?
Shita.
What was
his Shita... What?
Why was it his Shita? Wasn't it Tzivu Hashem not to kill your son?
Yep.
So what's his son's Shita then?
So that was... He had
it's
taken...
It's still because it's work, because he does it now.
Was now Hashem says, when Hashem says do something other, now I'm able to do something other.
Right.
That's the idea of going beyond taking the mitzvahs as a shita. That's going beyond the religion of the idea. Try and understand, yeah? Because there are questions you can ask on this, but if you try and understand, you'll understand. And it's the idea, okay? Because there's lots more points to it. There's not time to go into everything. But the point was that his shita, yeah, was that you don't kill your children. Yeah, and if you want to say it was Tzivi Hashem, there was no Tzivi Hashem at that point. It wasn't, it was, maybe you could say there was the Inyan of the Shemetz Noach. But the way that Rabbi Yoh explains this, and you'll see in a minute, because this answers up what we say every day in Kriya Shema, B'chol Levavacha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Moedecha. B'chol Levavacha, yeah, with all your heart, with all your emotions, yeah. B'chol Nafshecha, even if you have to give up your life. And Rashi says it's going in order. B'chol mo'idecha is the hardest thing. Giving up your money. And it's mo'idecha. Why not say mamoinecha? Or damacha? Why mo'idecha? You're very. Yeah? This was the inyan. This is the inyan of the Jew. This is the point of the Jew. is service at a level. It's not you serving the Bona Shalom, it's the Bona Shalom serving himself in a sense. That's the ultimate level of the Jew, going beyond his own shita.
So you don't give to his hand, you become his hand.
That's you can say it like that. That's Mo'idecha. That's the level of Mo'idecha. That Avraham was, and that's called the Yechida. That's why it was called a Kedis Yechidecha. The giving up is Yechida. What's another word for Yechida? Oineg. Oineg and Yechida are synonymous terms in this regard, in regards to talking about the level of the neshama. That the level of the soul, yeah, of the nefesh. He gave up his ultimate level of oineg, which is called your ideology. Now you go to William Wallace, yeah, remember in Braveheart, he put up his sword and he said they may take our lives but not take our freedom. Assume he didn't have children. Go up to him and say, Bill, what would you give up your freedom for? He'd be like,
because that's his end. There is nothing else.
That's the end. That's the highest level of a human being. The highest level of a human being is identifying with a good shita, a shita tova, to the point where you would give up your life for that. That is the highest level a human being can get to. Yeah? Now, most people don't do that. They choose a stupid or an evil shita, yeah? As we see in Yana Dioma, yeah? These people are mamash, giving up their lives left, right, and center for their shita. Yeah, that's called a religion. The ultimate level is identifying with an ideology, which is much more real, so to speak, than possessions and stuff. Yeah, somebody who has an ideology is going to give up a lot more for it than somebody who's identified with his property, or that's also an ideology, or his whatever it is, something more physical. And that's the whole story of Tanya. That's why the Tanya begins with the word Tanya, because Tanya is Loshen Eisan. Because when it says Tanya, Mashpin Oizit Tzadik, Alti Rasha, they bring a Gemara, it says they make a promise to be a Tzadik and not a Rasha. So it says Tanya, it's a minor from the Gemara, it's not a Brisa Bechlal. The Rebbe went out of his way to use the word Tanya to start the Tanya. It's not it wasn't Bechlal. The first thing he brings is a mimer from the Amorim. It wasn't from the Tanoim. So it isn't Tanya. The Inyan of Tanya, there's a lot of other Inyanim as well, but this is the biggest Inyan that I understand, is it's the Inyan of Eisan. Eisan was another, Avram was also called Eisan. It's the story of Avram.
Eisan
was another name for Avram. Power, as you see it in all of it. It's a Yidua, you can look it up.
What does it mean? That has a meaning?
Oh, Esau means power, yeah, strength.
It's power.
Yeah. So that's why it says, the pasuk that Tanya is based on is, Ki koev alecha adava ma'oid. Adava ma'oid, it's the word ma'oid.
So the opposite of religion is doing what?
Only a Jew, only a Jew.
For your ideology?
No, only a Jew could not be religious. Because a Jew is not of creation, and only the Jewish part of you cannot be religious. It's only allowing the Jewish part of you to overwhelm the human part of you that allows you to not be religious. A non-Jew cannot be religious, cannot not be religious. He
but
can't
the goal
go, there's
is
no higher.
The goal is to convert the non-Jew into the Jew inside of you.
Well, I've got to say, to draft everything into the same Inyan, but that's the level of having replaced your own human oineg.
What's the highest level for somebody to give up their life
for? Who?
For
a Jew or non-Jew?
Yeah. For a Jew.
The highest level of the Jew is that he can give up his oineg, his human oineg. Now that doesn't mean eating a candy, yeah, it could be, but that means your shita, that the highest level of your oineg is your ideology.
Ad lo yada.
Yes, this is everything. That's why the word ma'oid, by the way, goes everywhere. Very fat. Very quick, very tall. The word ma'oid fits everywhere. That's a whole different inyan. We'll talk about that another time. And that's the story of the Tanya. And that's where the Tanya is really trying to take us. And that's the whole inyan of Pnimius Satoya, which goes beyond the Tzorich Atzman. That was Rabbi Shimon's whole thing. So the philosophy, the ideology that I got taught in Eishet Torah, yeah, which was a good stepping stone to get into reality, I found out was just a stepping stone into reality, nothing more than that. A Okay? It was the Madrega, the next Madrega above from where I was. But in fact, real Yiddishkeit is actually going completely beyond yourself. And that doesn't mean that you become a schmutter. It's the opposite. You become the least schmutter thing in the world. Because now it's Hashem's oineg that's pulsing through your veins. So it's this is causing tzar to Hashem. Chaz v'shalom. You become the opposite of a schmutter. The absolute opposite of a schmutter. And that's what the Tanya is trying to do for us. And how do we do that? What's the means that we use to do that? We'll finish on this idea very quickly. We spoke a long time, sorry. The means of how we do that, the first line of attack is our behavior. Start behaving like a mensch. Start behaving like a Jew. Don't do a very well, start doing mitzvahs. That's the beginning. So if you don't understand where the Tanya is really trying to take you to, you could think that that's where the Tanya is trying to take you to, behavioral perfection. But the Tanya is giving you behavioral perfection, which is, that is just yidua. Look, you're not allowed to do averas and you have to do mitzvahs. There's no wiggle room there, finished. But you can use that as a tool to actually bring the Ribbono Shelom into the world mamash. Because if you do that without thinking about reward, in whatever way, maybe we're beyond Gan Eden, but we're definitely thinking about Dvekus and fuzzy feelings of oneness with reality and all kinds of things that we talk about. If you can go beyond that and start doing the mitzvah for the Rabbeinu Shloim, it will start being poil on you, and it will take some time, yeah, it takes a lot of time, but it will start feeding back, and before you know it, just like your wife, just like all of the avoiders of being a husband dissolve to the wife, all of the mitzvahs will dissolve to tzaddik be'emunaso yichyeh, and there'll only be the Ribbono Shel Olam in your life. And then you went into Gan Eden, that's it, finished. Okay, show it out. Next week we'll start with Tanya as well.
Very nice, good.
Well, his will is that he will mevatel other people's will for your will.
He says acherim.
But if
he says acherim.
Yeah,
you said that other people. It says, okay, others. Okay, maybe it means to
fine, but my main question is.